Why don't we go to our knees tonight and pray? Our God and Father, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, we come humbly before You this evening, Lord. We acknowledge, Heavenly Father, that You're great and mighty and powerful. And Lord, we are so small in Thy sight. And Lord, we come this evening boldly by the blood of Jesus Christ into Thy presence, Lord. And we ask You, Lord, for a blessing. We ask You, Heavenly Father, to look down upon us tonight and have mercy upon us and have compassion upon us. And Lord, that You would open up our hearts, open up our eyes that we might behold wondrous things out of Thy law. God, Your Word is beautiful. Your Spirit is wonderful, Lord. And I do invite You here tonight. And Lord, I pray that You'll be our teacher this evening. The Spirit has come to teach us in all things. Lord, even the deep things of God. Heavenly Father, I ask You by Your Spirit to instruct every heart here. Edify Your people, Lord. And I pray even tonight that You'll draw the lost and convince them of sin and of righteousness and of judgment. Lord, bathe all that we do tonight in Your sweet presence. Oh God, we do love You. Draw our hearts to You, Lord, tonight. I present myself to You, Lord. I want to be a vessel used of You, and I want the fountain of living water to spring up in my heart. That, Lord, it's not me, but it's You that is sharing and preaching Your Word. We ask Your blessing in Jesus Christ's name. Amen. Well, there are some unusual things, I believe, happening out on the roads tonight. Did any of you run into problems coming here? Okay, well, I did there. A number of accidents tonight. A number of the roads were actually blocked. Well, this evening I'd like you to, before we begin, I'd like to take a look at the cross. I want to share some about the cross tonight. And I'd like us just for a moment to look at the cross and in our hearts, in our minds, and consider the one who is there on the cross. And as you look at that cross, I want you to see the pain. I want you to see the shame. Look at the mockers. Look at the humiliation that Jesus is enduring. See the blood. See the crown of thorns. See the nakedness. See the weakness of this scene. The weakness of it. And now let me read to you. Listen as I read. For the preaching of the cross is to them that perish foolishness. But unto us which are saved, it is the power of God. That you just pictured in your mind, that scene of anguish and pain and suffering and weakness and humiliation, mocking, the preaching of that, it is the power of God. For it is written, I will destroy the wisdom of the wise and will bring to nothing the understanding of the prudent. Where is the wise? Where is the scribe? Where is the disputer of this world? Hath not God made foolish the wisdom of this world? For after that in the wisdom of God, the world by wisdom knew not God. It pleased God by the foolishness of preaching to save them that believe. For the Jews require a sign. Do you remember that scene? Come down off the cross and we will believe you. Show us a sign. In your humiliation, in your suffering, in your anguish, in your weakness, in your shame, come down off the cross. And the Greeks seek after wisdom. Give us philosophy. Tickle our ears. Talk to us. Give us some new thing. And they mock. But we preach Christ crucified unto the Jews a stumbling block, and unto the Greeks foolishness. But unto them which are called, are you called tonight? Unto them which are called, both Jews and Greeks, Christ, the power of God, and the wisdom of God. In that scene, in that humiliation, in that weakness, in that suffering, in that pain, in that anguish, in the blood, in the mocking, in the scourgings, in all of that that you see there, is the power of God and the wisdom of God. Because the foolishness of God is wiser than men, and the weakness of God is stronger than men. But God hath chosen the foolish things of the world to confound the wise. And God hath chosen, you notice this, God hath chosen the weak things of the world to confound the things which are mighty. And the base things of the world and things which are despised hath God chosen. God in His wisdom hath chosen weakness. God in His wisdom hath chosen suffering. God in His wisdom has chosen persecution. God in His wisdom has chosen all these things to confound the wise. And He has chosen the base things of the world, the things which are despised. Jesus was despised of men. Hath God chosen to bring to naught the things that are, that no flesh should glory in His presence. God has chosen weakness to bring down the mighty. And God has chosen weakness to bring up you and I, to make us strong. You know, I wonder tonight, I know where it is, but maybe you wonder, where is the power of God? Where is the power of God? Where is the power of God in the church? Where is the power of God in our individual lives? Where is the power of God? The Bible says that the preaching of the cross is the power and the wisdom of God. It's in the preaching of the cross. Tonight I would like to preach to you the cross, that you might see where the power of God lies for your individual life and for us as a church, as a body. Where is the power of God? The power of God is in the preaching of the cross. That scene, that humiliation, that weakness, that blood, that mocking, that shame. Most people would say that's the last place you'd want to look for the power of God. Let's open our Bibles tonight to 2 Corinthians chapter 11 and read. I'm going to read a rather lengthy passage if you'd like to follow along with me. Starting in verse number 23. Paul here is trying to defend his ministry as a Christian minister. And he is defending himself here to the church of Corinth because there have been false apostles rising up here in 2 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 13. He says, for such are false apostles,
deceitful workers transforming themselves into the apostles of Christ. And he's going to begin to give the church at Corinth the reason why that he is a true minister of Christ. So this passage is a defense of Paul's ministry, starting in verse number 23. Are they ministers of Christ? I speak as a fool, I am more. In labors more abundant, in stripes above measure, in prisons more frequent, in death often. Of the Jews, 5 times received I 40 stripes, save one. Now this is an interesting way to defend your ministry. You know, most people defend their ministry by saying what doctorate they have, what degrees they have, what churches they have planted, what conferences they speak in. They defend their ministry by exalting themselves and lifting themselves up. But Paul defends his ministry by pointing out all the suffering that he has endured and gone through. He talks nothing of all his accomplishments, but all that he has suffered. 5 times received I 40 stripes, save one. Thrice was I beaten with rods. Can you imagine putting this on your resume to get a pastorate? Paul, what's your qualifications as a minister of Jesus Christ? Well, 5 times I was beaten with rods. Thrice was I beaten with rods. Once was I stoned. Thrice I suffered shipwreck. A night and a day I have been in the deep. Paul, what does that have to do? You're bobbing up and down in the deep a night and a day. What does that have to do with the ministry? What does that have to do, Paul, with your qualifications of being an apostle? Floating up and down in the water. In journeyings often, in perils of waters, in perils of robbers, in perils of mine own countrymen, in perils by the heathen, in perils in the city, in perils in the wilderness, in perils in the sea, in perilous amongst false brethren, in weariness and painfulness. I was tired often. I was in pain often. In watchings often, in all-night prayer or watchings in the night, I have spent a lot of time in hunger and thirst, in fastings often, in cold and nakedness. Besides those things that are without, that which cometh upon me daily, the care of all the churches. Verse 32, in Damascus, the governor under Aretas, the king kept the city of the Damascenes with a garrison, desirous to apprehend me, and through a window in the basket I was let down by the wall and escaped his hands. What in the world does that have to do with the qualification of being a Christian minister? Why tell this story, Paul? Verse 1 of chapter 12, it is not expedient for me doubtless to glory. I'm not going to lift myself up. I will come to visions and revelations of the Lord. I knew a man in Christ about 14 years ago. Whether in the body I cannot tell, or whether out of the body I cannot tell, God knoweth. Such an one caught up to the third heaven. And I knew such a man, whether in the body or out of the body, I cannot tell, God knoweth. I think Paul's talking about himself there. How that he was caught up into paradise and heard unspeakable words which it is not lawful for a man to utter. Of such an one will I glory, yet in myself I will not glory, but in mine infirmities. You know, Paul could have spoken about great miracles. Paul could have brought out the times that he touched and laid hands on someone and they were healed. He could have brought out the times that he preached and many were converted. He could have raised himself up and said, here is why I am an apostle of Jesus Christ and why they are not. But he didn't do that. He said, I'm suffering. I'm weak. I'm hungering. I'm fasting. I'm praying. Verse 6, for though I would desire to glory, and he could have, I shall not be a fool, for I will say the truth, but now I forbear, lest any man should think of me above that which he seeth me to be, or that he heareth of me, and lest I should be exalted above measure through the abundance of the revelations, there was given to me a thorn in the flesh, the messenger of Satan to buffet me, lest I should be exalted above measure. For this thing I besought the Lord thrice, that it might depart from me. And he said unto me, My grace is sufficient for thee, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. Most gladly, therefore, will I rather glory in mine infirmities. This is my qualification. I'm going to glory in mine infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest upon me. Therefore, I take pleasure in infirmities, in reproaches, in necessities, in persecutions, in distresses for Christ's sake. For when I am weak, then am I strong. I'd like you tonight to focus. We're going to look at verse number 9 and number 10 because this is something that Paul learned. It was a principle in his life. He said, when I am weak, then am I strong. You see, tonight there is a fixed law in the spiritual world. It is a fixed law. It's just as fixed as the law of gravity in this natural world. I remember one time I was painting a roof there near my home. It was a brother's house, and as I was painting this roof, I was putting on some of that aluminum fiber coating stuff. It's very oily, very slick coating, and I was putting it on the roof, and the brother that owned the house, he was a part of our church, and I was talking to him. He was up on the roof with me, and I wasn't paying any attention, and we were talking, and I just stepped backwards, just one step, but I forgot that I had painted behind me. And as I stepped back, my feet went right out from under me, and the roof wasn't sloped that much, but it was enough to just send me right off the roof. And thank God I was only about 8 to 10 feet up, but I remember as I hit my backside that I was wondering, what is down there? What am I going to hit when I hit the ground? And when I went over the edge, praise the Lord, all I could see was green grass. And I hit the ground, and praise the Lord, there was nothing broken. Gravity. It's a fixed law. But there is a fixed law in the spiritual realm, and that is, when I am weak, then am I strong. When I am strong, then am I weak. The law is this, and Paul understood it, my strength is made perfect in weakness. Jesus lived this out in his life. He chose a life of weakness. He said, foxes have holes and birds have nests, but the Son of Man hath not a place to lay his head. He chose a life of necessity. He was despised and rejected of men, a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief. He did not come and choose a life of exaltation. He came and chose a life of being despised, of being rejected. He came unto his own, and his own received him not. He said these words, marvel not that the world hates you. It hated me before it hated you. But Jesus, though he was weak, though he was despised, though he was hated, though he had not a place to lay his head, yet the mighty works of God did show forth in him. When men are strong, when they are self-sufficient, when they are independent, God must be weak through them. He must be. When men choose to be weak, have needs, place themselves in positions where they are needful, God then is able to show Himself strong. It's almost like those seesaws we played on when we were children. When you sat on one side, the other side automatically came up. When I am strong in my own self, I lift up this side, but this side goes down. God's strength becomes weakness. When I am weak in myself, God's strength becomes strong. This is seen in the cross as Jesus, who demonstrated weakness. And that scene, which I think you imagined in your mind as we started this message, that scene of weakness, do you know what that Jesus did in that scene of weakness? He redeemed the world. He redeemed the world in that humiliation. And it was through that humiliation that He saved each one of us and redeemed humanity. An amazing thing occurred. In His weakness, God showed Himself strong. Well, in verse number 9, Paul said, I have learned to glory. Most gladly, therefore, will I rather glory in my infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest upon you. Paul wanted something more than anything else, and most of you tonight, I think, want this. A young man just asked me tonight as I came in here, brother, how can we live this way? How can we live holy? We want that power, don't we? We want that mighty power. How can we do it? That is the heart's cry of many of you. Paul rejoiced in life situations where he could be weak because he knew such a place opened him up to the power of God. You know, God has always worked this way in the Bible. If you go back and you look at all the miracles of the Bible, the great miracles of the Bible, you'll find that God is always coming and visiting man in his weakness. Perhaps the greatest miracle of the Bible outside the resurrection of Jesus Christ was that day when God brought the nation of Israel out of Egypt. And He brought them there to the banks of the Red Sea, and the sea was before them, and the armies of Egypt was behind, and mountains on either side, and the people of God were being taught their first lesson, and that is this. People, when you're weak, when you're in a situation of weakness, that's when I show up in strength. And as they're there in this position, they have no place to go, and they cry out to God, and God speaks to Moses, and He says, let me show you my great salvation. And He tells Moses to lift up his hands and to stretch out his staff over this water. And God shows the nation of Israel a tremendous miracle. And this whole nation goes across the Red Sea on dry ground. And it was because the people of God were brought into a place of weakness that God showed Himself strong. You can go throughout the Bible. You will find that every time God did something powerful, He did it in human weakness. He brought them through the Red Sea and He began to teach them. And tragically, they failed the test of God. They got to the banks of the Jordan River and God said, you have not known my ways. Therefore, you shall not enter into that land of promise. They missed it. And what God was trying to teach them all the way through the wilderness, He would take them 3 days without water. Lord, we're in need. He would take them into a place of need, into a place of weakness. And He was teaching them that it is in these places that I can show myself strong. And isn't it the heart of our God to glorify His name and show His power to this world? That's why He says He raised up Pharaoh that my power might be known. And God brought them out of Egypt and He wanted to show His power to the heathen nations all about them. He was going to do that. He was going to prepare a people who would learn this very principle that when we're in weakness, that is when God is strong. But they didn't learn it. And they came to the final test and they didn't know it, but they were standing on the banks of the Jordan. And in the heart of God, God was saying, if they fail this test, they shall not enter the promised land. And God again brought them to a place of weakness. Because they were, as they sent out the spies came back and said, oh my, this is a wonderful land, but this land is full of giants. And we are just grasshoppers in their sight and we cannot do this. And they were in a place of weakness again. But instead of learning God's ways and looking to God and realizing that when we're in a place of weakness, God will show Himself strong. They begin to complain and murmur and begin to put together captains to go back into Egypt. And here God wanted to magnify His name and show Himself strong with His people. But they failed. And the Bible says they failed 10 times. And finally God swore in His wrath that these people shall not enter into His rest. And in Hebrews chapter 3, the Bible tells that story and says to us, take heed, brethren, lest there be in any of you an evil heart of unbelief, not believing God's ways, not understanding how God does things. You see, God magnifies Himself, shows His power when His people are in a place of weakness. That is God's ways, and He wants to magnify Himself and glorify Himself through your life and through mine. Well, Paul says here in verse 10, therefore I take pleasure in infirmities. Now follow along with me because we're going to go somewhere here this evening. I take pleasure in infirmities. I take pleasure in times when I am weak, infirmities. Times where I have to watch and pray, sleepless nights, to arise and to meditate and to pray and to seek God. You know, watching is when a guard would rise or spend all night watching over a city. Watchings. He says, I'm oftentimes weak because I've been staying up at night and I've been praying and I've been fasting. He talks about the watchings and the fastings back here in chapter 11. He talks about being cold and naked. But he took pleasure in those things because he realized that as he did those things, as he chose to put himself in a place of weakness, that was when God began to show himself strong. Do you remember the time when the father brought the little child who was being thrown into the fire, into the water, and being tormented by the demon, and the disciples came and they tried to cast out this demon. And they couldn't do it, and they said to Jesus, why could we not cast him out? And Jesus said, this kind can come forth by nothing but prayer and fasting. You see, you need to put yourself in a place of weakness. You need to pray and you need to fast. You need to choose these things because you need more power. You need more strength. Putting yourself in a place of weakness. Paul realized that when he put himself in a place of weakness, but that's when God would show Himself strong. You know, oftentimes, and I find this in my life, that there's a revival and people get desperate for God and they begin to fast and pray and they stay up at night and they pray and they cry out to God because their heart is desperate for revival. And God comes and He begins to revive and He sends conversions and He does many mighty works in our midst. Then things begin to blossom and grow, and then pretty soon we begin to forget that, oh, it was in my weakness that God did all these things. And now that God has shown Himself strong and things are being built and we're going forward, we begin to forget how we got here. And pretty soon we're not fasting and praying, we're not doing those very things that brought us to this point. I remember when I was in Hiles Anderson College, they asked me to be a bus captain, and I had to go and stand before the bus leader, Brother Ray Young. And I didn't know much about anything about Christianity. I was just a young babe in Christ, and they asked me to do that probably because I was just being a servant and trying to be loyal. And I know when I went to talk to him about being a bus captain, I was petrified. I just, oh God, I can't do this. And I went in there and Ray Young asked me to take over a bus and be a bus captain. And I thought to myself, God, He's got the wrong person. There's no way I can do this. And in my heart, I was totally, God, I can't do it. And so I went and cried out to God and began to pray. And I entered into that ministry knowing that, God, there's no way I can do this thing and You've got to do it. And I'd stay up at night and I'd walk around and pray and cry out to God, God, this is not going to work. You got the wrong guy. And I started this bus route and all of a sudden God began to bring children on the bus and God began to bless this thing. And it started to grow and grow and grow. And Brother Denny, the overseer there, the bus director, he started to look upon this thing and it started to be a blessing. But you know, after a while, I got used to that. That well, we're getting a lot of children on the bus, and God is really blessing. And I forgot that I needed to cry out to God and to stay up night and pray and fast, and all of a sudden things started to dry up. Because now I was strong. Now I could do it on my own. Now I didn't need God anymore. Or so I thought. Paul took pleasure in infirmities. I like to stay up at night, Paul said, and watch and pray. I like to fast because I know that when I sacrifice and I do those things, it's that time that God shows Himself strong in my weakness. And I'd like you to notice that this is not some sort of a self-abasement program. This is not being a monk or closing ourselves up. But it's doing things for the purpose of the kingdom of God. It's doing things that the darkness might be removed and the light of the glorious gospel of Jesus Christ might come rushing in. It's being weak for Jesus' sake. Well, something else Paul said he took pleasure in, not only infirmities, he took pleasure in reproaches. Times when he was treated shamefully and cast out, rejected and insulted. If you look at his ministry, it's amazing as you watch Paul's life that when he was in these situations, when he was reproached, that's when God showed up. God didn't show up when he had everything under control and he had all that he needed and everything was going fine. But when he was reproached, that's when God showed up. 2 Timothy, Paul writes this to Timothy, At my first answer, no man stood with me, but all men forsook me. Notwithstanding, the Lord stood with me and strengthened me. Timothy, I was left alone. I was a reproach. Everyone left me. But that's when God showed up. Peter said it this way, if you be reproached for the name of Christ, happy are you, for the Spirit of glory and of God resteth upon you. When you are reproached, Peter says, when you are willing to be reproached, when you're in a situation of being reproached, that's when God will show up. The Spirit of God will rest upon you. I love this verse here in Hebrews 11. By faith, Moses, when he was come to years, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter. He had the perfect situation, humanly speaking. He had all that he wanted. He was a son of the Pharaoh of Egypt, in a sense. But he chose, and that's an important word, he chose something. He chose rather to suffer affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season. For he esteemed the reproach of Christ greater riches than the treasures of Egypt. And you know what? I don't think we'd have seen the mighty works of God through Moses had not Moses had chosen weakness. Had not Moses chosen reproach. Because God saw Moses' heart and Moses chose to suffer, God then showed His mighty power through Moses. We would have never seen the 10 plagues in Egypt or the crossing of the Red Sea. And you know, Moses is a very clear type of Jesus. Both were in King's court. Jesus in God's presence. Moses and Pharaoh's. Both chose to come down and to make themselves weak and to suffer reproach. Both of them chose to do that. Jesus said, I will come. Moses said, I want to go down to those people. They took a long journey down, but it was a choice both of them made. And both of them delivered a people. Jesus delivered us through the weakness of that cross, and Moses delivered the nation of Israel because they both chose to go low. They were deliverers. In 2 Corinthians chapter 8, Paul says this, for you know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though He was rich, what a place He had. There in the presence of God, at the right hand of God, though He were rich, yet for your sakes He became poor. He made a choice. That you might be made rich. That was a choice He made. So God, wanting to glorify His name and place His power on His people, commands in Hebrews 13, listen to this, "Wherefore Jesus also, that He might sanctify the people, suffered without the gate. Let us go forth therefore, bearing His reproach outside the camp." Paul learned the power of God came to him when he placed himself in positions of weakness and reproach. Now, what is our nature to do? Our nature, our fallen nature, always chooses to be strong. And we flee reproach. Why? We want to be accepted. Paul also made this the third thing he said that he takes pleasure in. First he said infirmities, then reproaches, and then he said necessities. He said, "I take pleasure in necessities, in times of need. When I need food, when I need money, when I need clothes." If you look back in 1 Corinthians chapter 11, all these things are listed back here, but in verse number 27, he says, "In weariness and painfulness, in watchings often, in hunger and thirst, in fastings often, in cold and in nakedness." There were many times when Paul had needs. And you know, if you follow Jesus throughout His ministry, you'll find that Jesus always showed up when people had a need. The first miracle He ever did was when He turned the water to wine. And you know what His mother said? "They have need. They're out of wine. Lord, can You help us? They have a need." And in times of need, that's when the Lord showed up. When the multitude were hungry and there were 5,000 and there was only a little boy with a few small fish and loaves, there was a need, and that's when Jesus showed up with the power of God. When the blind man needed sight and he was desperate, that's when Jesus showed up with the power of God. When tax money was needed, Peter was sent to fish and bring a fish up with a pearl in its mouth or a coin. If you follow the miracles of the Bible, you'll find that they occur when there is a time of need. Paul learned to rejoice in time of necessity because he saw that the power of God rested upon him then. He goes on here and he says, "In persecutions, I take pleasure in persecutions. I take pleasure in times of being chased down, times of being hunted, times of being beaten, reviled, and slandered. I take pleasure in these things." And the reason why he did is because he loved to see the power of God. And he found that when he is persecuted, that's when God shows up. I'd have loved to have been there when they in Lystra drug him outside the city after they had stoned him and left him for dead. I'd have loved to see him that day when Paul shook himself and stood up in the midst of that whole mess of stones. But you know, God showed up and the power of God was manifested there because a man was willing to choose persecution. And God was there. And if you follow persecution throughout the New Testament, you'll find that God would show up with mighty power when men were persecuted. Paul and Silas were in jail in Philippi. They were being persecuted, sitting there singing. And guess who shows up with some power? God shows up and He shakes the whole place. In Acts chapter 4, when Peter and John were threatened, "You cannot speak anymore in the name of Jesus," they run back to the church and they tell the people, "Listen, they're threatening us." And then they all lift up their voice in the midst of the threatenings and say, "Lord, grant unto Thy servants that with all boldness we may speak forth Thy word." And the house was shaken where they were assembled together. And God showed up. He showed up because His people were willing to be persecuted. And that's why in lands all over the country where there's persecution, that's why God shows up. And then you read books about how God did many mighty things in a land where there is persecution. But do you know there's persecution for us today too, if we want it? If we're willing to choose it, there is persecution for us today. I've been threatened with my life, escorted away by police. I've had eggs, tomatoes, and tobacco thrown at me. I've been spit upon, reviled. In one church in Florida, the priest of the Catholic Church called me Satan. All in the USA. In the USA. There is persecution here for us tonight. In this country. D.L. Moody said this, if the world hasn't got anything to say against us, it is pretty sure that Christ won't have much to say for us. Persecutions. Paul rejoiced in them. He took pleasure in them. And then the last thing he says here in verse 10 is distresses. That's all those perils. In perils of false brethren, in perils of the heathen, in perils of all these perils he talks about in chapter 11. Distresses, being pressed into difficult, narrow circumstances. Paul's life was always being pressed. That's why I think men like Demas and all these other men had a hard time staying with Paul. Because he's always in trouble. He's always in a difficult situation. You know, most of us run from difficult situations. And you know, we're running from the power of God. We're running from the power of God. Because it's in that that God shows up. Paul's life was always being pressed. Can you imagine that time in Acts 28 was when he was on the ship and he was heading to Rome, and the ship is out in this storm, and how many days they're out there, I forget, but they've got to be deathly seasick. And then finally the ship breaks up and they all make it to shore in perils. And finally when they get to shore there, Paul is up warming his hands by the fire. And another peril pops up. A snake, a viper, comes up out of that fire and fastens to his hand. And so he's just been in a shipwreck and now he's trying to get warm and a viper bites him. But you know what? It was right there in that moment and in those days to follow that the power of God was there. Paul shook that viper off. And then he went to Publius, who was the governor of the place. His father was sick, and he went and he laid his hands on this man's father, and he was healed. You say, why did Paul have such power with God? Why did Paul do such miracles like that? How can Paul shake a snake off? And why does Paul lay his hands upon men and they're healed? Because Paul lived a life of weakness. He lived a life of infirmity. He lived a life of persecution. He lived a life of peril. He was in distress often. And when God looked down, He saw Paul in a place of weakness on a regular basis. And God says in the book of 2 Chronicles, I believe it is, the eyes of the Lord run to and fro throughout all the earth, seeking someone that He might show Himself strong. And there's a man that I can show myself strong. Because he's in a place of weakness. Because Paul's life was a life of choosing weakness, he was a man whose life was full of the mighty works of God. Look over here at 2 Corinthians chapter 13. This is an example that Paul gives of the Lord Jesus as he closes out his thoughts in verse number 4. Speaking of Jesus, for though he was crucified through weakness, yet he liveth by the power of God. For we also are weak in him, but we shall live with Him by the power of God towards you. Notice that Jesus did the same thing. He was crucified through weakness, and 3 days later God raised Him from the dead and showed His mighty power. And then He calls upon us to live in weakness that we might have also the power of God. Jesus was oftentimes in places of weakness, prayer and fasting. He was a man who had necessities. He had not a place to lay his head. He was in distresses, hunted down, nailed to a cross. He was reproached, cast out by his own people. He was persecuted, beaten and scourged. Yet in all of that, God showed His mighty power throughout the life of His Son and then raised Him from the dead. For the preaching of the cross is to them that perish foolishness. Now think about this. If a lost man were here tonight, and maybe there are some, but if a lost man were here tonight and I was here recommending to you a life of weakness, a life of reproach, a life of suffering, a life of persecution, a life of humiliation, that lost man would say, that is the most foolish thing. That is absolutely, utterly foolish. Who would choose such a thing as that? But that's what God is laying before us. For the preaching of the cross is then to perish foolishness. And if you think tonight that what I'm sharing is utter nonsense, you ought to check your heart. But if your heart is saying, Amen, Amen, because the preaching of the cross is the power of God. How is it for us tonight? Where are we at? See, I'd like to see the power of God in my life. Have you chosen weakness? Christ's weakness in the crucifixion brings eternal life to me through His redemption. He offers life to the world. Through His weakness, He gives life. If He stays in the comforts of heaven, I am lost. Amen? If He stays in the comforts of heaven, we're all lost. But because He chooses, He makes a choice to obey His Father, He comes to this earth and He lives a life of weakness and a life of humiliation. Because He does that, He opens the door for us to enter into the kingdom. Through His weakness, we are made strong. It is in following His example and taking up the cross, choosing weakness like He, that I see the power of God in my life. It is in my choice to follow His example that I too can see the power of God in my life. It is in my choice to say, I choose infirmity. I choose persecution. I choose affliction. I choose suffering. I take pleasure in them. You know, sometimes we take the example of Jesus and the example of Paul and we put them way up high that we could never reach them. Jesus is the supreme example. Paul said, follow me as I follow Him. And Jesus laid out this principle so beautifully. He left ease and comfort and came and suffered. Paul followed His example, didn't he? And they both, as you and I can testify tonight, were mightily used of God. And then Jesus says to come, follow my example. Paul says, follow me as I follow Christ. You know, we have to step out. We have a commitment. So many people today are waiting for God to do something. God, I'm waiting here for You to give me Your power. God, I'm waiting here for You to stir me up. God, I'm waiting here for You to break my heart. God, I'm waiting here for You to say, woe is me. God, I'm waiting for You. No, God is waiting for you to choose the things that He has already commanded us to do. To choose weakness. This is one of the perils, I think, of the American standard of living. It is so easy to choose comfort and ease and being liked, security. It is so easy to choose that because it's everywhere. But that's why we don't witness the power of God. Because the power of God is in the cross, and the cross represents weakness and suffering. It represents persecution and affliction. It represents all that Jesus endured. And the preaching of that is foolishness to the world. But we live in a country where it's so easy to choose having plenty. Having no need. It's so easy to choose not to suffer. Not to be persecuted. Not to have affliction. Because we have a choice, don't we? You know, some places they don't have a choice. And I think some of us are waiting for the day when we don't have a choice. I don't think we should wait for that day. The Bible doesn't teach for us to wait for it. It's here already. Listen, this world is a place of darkness. America is a place of darkness. Darkness hates light. If light stands up in the midst of darkness, light will be persecuted. The preaching of the cross includes both the redemptive work of Christ for the forgiveness of sins through His weakness. And by the way, tonight, if you're not converted, if you would look at Jesus tonight on the cross and all that He did in His weakness, He's offering you tonight, through His weakness, strength. Strength, eternal life. And the sweetness of His Spirit, the forgiveness of your sins, He has purchased that through His weakness. And also the call to take up the cross and follow Him into a life of choosing weakness. Peter said it this way, "For even hereunto were you called." You were called. "Because Christ also suffered for us, leaving us an example that you should follow in His steps." Follow in His steps. You say, "I want the power of God. I'm praying for the power of God." Why don't you just follow in His steps? If you follow in His steps, you'll have the power of God. He had the power of God. Paul had the power of God. We can have the power of God if we're willing to follow in His steps. Weakness. Choosing to be weak, that the power of Christ may rest upon me. Jesus said it this way, "If any man come after me, let him deny himself." Do you know what? Denying himself comes before taking up the cross. No one would naturally choose a life of weakness. So the Lord says, if you're going to come to me, deny yourself. Everything within me says no to necessity. It says no to persecution, no to reproach. I don't like those things. But if you're going to come to me, deny yourself and pick up that cross and follow me. There is an amazing thing that happens when we choose weakness. God brings power and strength. And it's a choice. We choose to fast. We choose to stay up and pray. We choose to be reproached. We choose to have necessity. We choose to be persecuted. We choose perils. They're presented to us all day long. The cross represents weakness, but the grave represents the power of God. And it was only by weakness, only through hanging on the cross, only through that weakness did we ever get to see the grave open and Jesus raised from the dead. If there was no cross, there would be no grave. And if there's no cross in our life, if there's no picking up a cross, there will be no resurrection in our life either. There are so many people who want to be resurrected. I want that quickening of the Spirit. But they've never died. They've never gone down the way of the cross. They've never suffered affliction and they've never chosen to bear the cross. Without the cross, without the weakness, there can be no grave in our life. What is the cross? It is weakness. It is reproach. It is necessity. It is persecution. It is distress. Weakness always precedes power. It is through the cross we experience a resurrection. It is through choosing weakness for Christ's sake we shall experience His power. You have the ability tonight to choose to be weak. As a matter of fact, the Bible is loaded with commands that if we would just obey them, we would be weak. Do you know that? Choose weakness, not strength. Does the Bible teach us we ought to be praying and fasting, watching unto prayer? Paul said in Ephesians 6, praying with all prayer and supplication with all saints and watching thereunto unto prayer. That's talking about watching, staying up and watching in prayer, making ourselves weak. Choose necessity, not riches and comfort. Do you think this commandment is for us? Sell that thou hast and give alms. Provide yourselves treasures in heaven. That's one of the many. Choose reproach rather than acceptance by the world. Jesus said it this way, let us go outside the gates, or Peter, let us go outside the gates bearing His reproach. That's a commandment. Let us go outside the gates. You see, outside the gates is where you are unwanted. You're not wanted. Let us go outside the gates. It's something we choose to do. Most of us, naturally, we stay in groups where we are accepted. But it's good sometimes to go outside that little wall of acceptance and go to where people hate you and bear the reproach of it. Let us go outside the gate bearing His reproach. Choose persecution rather than favor. The Bible says all that live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. Persecution is for all of us. Choose distress, not a life of ease. The book of Acts says, we shall through much tribulation enter into the kingdom of God. You see, all these things are for us. They're all for us. We just need to choose them. They're right before us. Right out here in our cities and towns. All these things that we could do to bear our cross. So if you might say tonight, if I choose weakness and persecution, if I choose necessity and reproach, if I choose these things, I won't have a life. Now you've got it. Now you understand. You won't have a life. Listen to what Jesus said. If any man will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. For whosoever shall save his life shall lose it, and whosoever shall lose his life for my sake and the gospel shall save it. You see, that cross is losing that life. It is taking up reproach and necessity and persecution and weakness. It's taking those things up and losing your life in His cause. And when God sees our heart there, then, in weakness, we see the power of God. I shared this principle one time in a service, and a man came to me, or actually it was in the testimony time afterwards, and he said, I heard an illustration one time and I'd like to share it with you. So he shared it. He said a man had a dream, and in his dream he saw a number of men and women. They were walking along in a very barren, dusty, desert-like place, and there was maybe 10 or 15 of them, and they were carrying a cross on their back, a very heavy cross, large cross. And as he observed in the stream, they were going along this path, and they were hot and sweaty, and they wanted something to drink, and they were getting weak and tired, and all of a sudden one of them or two of them began to stop, and they took out a saw and began to start cutting off some of their cross. And he said he kept watching in this dream, and they kept going on. A few of them held on to their cross in entirety. Others began to cut more and more off the cross. A few finally, because of their weakness, a few of them finally just laid it down and kept going. Finally, after a while, they came to a ravine, a deep ravine. And in his dream, he saw that those who had left off their cross had no way to cross the ravine. Those who had cut their cross down to a small size, they could not reach the ravine. But only those who were willing to bear the cross could lay their cross down and cross over the ravine. It's not good for us to throw off the cross, to throw off a life of bearing weakness and reproach, necessity and persecution. Turn with me to Luke chapter 6. Here Jesus describes this very thing. In verse number 20, I want you to notice how the Lord blesses certain people. And He lifted up His eyes on His disciples and said, "Blessed be ye poor, for yours is the kingdom of God. Blessed are ye that hunger." That's necessity, isn't it? "For ye shall be filled. Blessed are ye that weep now." That's distress. "For you shall laugh. Blessed are ye when men shall hate you." That's reproach. "And when they shall separate you from their company," that's casting you out, "and shall reproach you and cast out your name as evil for the Son of Man's sake, rejoice you in that day and leap for joy. For behold, your reward is great in heaven, for in like manner did their fathers unto the prophets. Blessed are you who choose to take up a cross, to choose a life of weakness. Blessed are you." But now look at verse 24. "But woe unto you that are rich, for you have received your consolation. Woe unto you that are full, for you shall hunger. Woe unto you that laugh now, for you shall mourn and weep. Woe unto you when all men shall speak well of you, for so did their fathers to the false prophets." Here you have two different people. One is a people that takes up a cross and chooses a life of weakness. The other is a people that chooses to forsake a cross and to live for this present time and world. To live in comfort, to live in ease. To not be a reproach, to not be cast out, to be spoken well of. You know, today we have many people who are teaching that Jesus wants us to be rich, that we should be driving nice cars, living in million-dollar homes, having everything. We're King's kids. But the King we're following is a suffering King. The King we're following is a King that calls us to take up a cross and follow Him, because in that weakness, in the cross, is where God shows Himself strong and the power of God is manifested. And the thing I know I need, and the thing I think we need, is to realize that we need to make the right choices about how we live this life. Whether or not we're going to choose to bear a cross, or whether we're choosing to enjoy this life. Whether or not we choose to have necessity or to have plenty. Whether or not we choose to wake up at night and to pray for 2 or 3 hours or to go back to bed and be comfortable. Whether or not we choose to go forth and to speak for Jesus Christ and be reproached and to be cast out. Whether or not we choose to be hated by the world or we want to be loved by it. It is the cross that's the power of God. And it's the preaching of the weakness of the Son of God that we find our power and strength. I think too many of us tonight are choosing a life of ease and we're wondering, crying out to God, "Where's the power of God?" And God says, "It's right here in My Word. The power of God is in you choosing weakness. That's where the power of God is. I want to be delivered from sin. Choose weakness. I want to have my family blessed. Choose weakness. I want our church to have a revival. Choose weakness. In essence, blessed are you who choose the cross. Woe unto those who choose the world. Someone said this, the cross of Christ is like a key of gold, which opens paradise for us. But if unaccepted, it becomes an iron key that opens the gates of hell before us. And when you look at Jesus tonight on the cross, I want you to remember that that weakness that you see, that suffering, that humiliation, that shame, that blood, that pain, it's done. It was done to make you strong, to give you redemption, to give you eternal life. That in His weakness, we are able to enter into eternal life through His suffering. But then He calls us to take up a cross and to follow Him. And here's the beautiful thing about it. In John chapter 12, the Bible says if we will choose weakness and follow Him, that through our weakness, God will work through us and we can save others. Except a corn of wheat fall into the ground and die, it abideth alone. But if it die, it bringeth forth much fruit. And fruitful living is in living in a life of weakness, choosing persecution, choosing suffering, choosing necessity. That is the fruitful life. Because that is the life when the power of God can be seen. What do you want to choose tonight? Shall we continue to ask the Lord for blessing and power and all the things we want unless we're willing to make a choice to be weak? We can choose all these things. I think we become so accustomed to avoid them. It's become a way of life. We simply avoid the cross and avoid the cross and avoid the cross and avoid the cross. And then someone comes along and says, choose the cross. Choose the cross. Day to day, day after day, choose the cross. Let us choose the cross tonight. Shall we pray? Heavenly Father, thank You for the beauty of the cross and the wisdom of God in making strength and power out of weakness. We thank You, Heavenly Father, that Jesus did leave the comforts of heaven to come and to show an example to us of how to live and how to be. Thank You, Lord, that we can be redeemed through the sufferings of the Lord Jesus Christ, through His weakness. Oh God, help us tonight to allow these truths to come into our heart, that the power of God might be seen in our life, that You might be glorified. Lord, help us not to be like the Israelites as they looked across into the promised land and saw the perils, saw the affliction, saw all that, and yet chose to dwell and stay on this side of the Jordan, and yet never entered the promised land. Lord, may we choose the cross tonight and see and witness the power of God. We thank You, Heavenly Father, for this wisdom. Thank You for opening up to our hearts. May You give us, Lord, the strength and the grace to choose Thy will, what You desire, the cross of Jesus Christ. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, this evening I'd like to sing King of My Life, I Crown Thee Now, number 794. Maybe you'd like to choose the cross tonight. Come and tell the Lord. Come and acknowledge to the Lord tonight that you've been choosing a life of ease. You've been avoiding the things that the cross represents. Come and tell the Lord tonight. And confess that you haven't chosen the cross as you ought to choose it. Let's stand to our feet and sing number 794. One thing I do when I read the Bible, study the Bible always demands a response. If we see the truth, it demands that we do something about it. We respond to it. Tonight, I'm just asking you to respond to the truth as you see it, as you understand it in the Bible. You come as we sing. King of my life, I crown Thee now. Thine shall the glory be. Lest I forget Thy forecrowned brow, lead me to Calvary. Lest I forget Gethsemane, lest I forget Some of you maybe even now or in the future are going to face God's calling you to some distant land. And you might look across the Jordan and you might say, that's too perilous for me. There's going to be persecution. There's going to be affliction. There's going to be suffering. There's going to be martyrdom. I'm not going to go that way. Some of you may be even dealing with that right now in your heart. No doubt many of you, God will speak to you about going forth and suffering. Why don't we cross Jordan tonight and accept a life of bearing the cross? Verse number 3. Let me like Mary through the gloom come with a gift. Have you responded to the truth as God has spoken to your heart? Have you responded in all honesty? If not, please respond tonight to the Lord. Verse number 4. This is the last verse. May I be willing, Lord, to bear daily my cross for Thee. Even Thy lest I forget Thy agony.
Thank you, Heavenly Father, for the beauty and the wisdom of Thy Word. And we pray You'll bless each one that has come tonight, Lord, and give them a heart, Lord, that can receive and do, the grace to do. Have compassion upon us. Here in this rich nation, Lord, have compassion upon us. Help us to be wise in our choices. Thank you for being here with us this evening. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, if anyone is interested in having some counsel, you can please stand to your feet and go here to this side, to the door. If not, you can remain where you're at and let us quietly fellowship together tonight. And tomorrow night we'll be here again at 7 o'clock. So God bless you for coming. And you take these things home with you tonight and ponder them. May God bless you.
Thank you for listening to this message. We trust that it has been a blessing to you. If you would like additional sermons or a catalog, please visit our website at effortofministries.org. Call us toll-free at 855-557-7902 or write to us at Ephrata Ministries, 400 West Main Street, Suite 1, Ephrata, Pennsylvania, 17522. You are welcome to copy this message for free distribution. This ministry is supported by your donations. May the Lord Jesus bless you.